Hello, and welcome to this half hour with Rallets Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallets, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or maybe you'd like to come join us on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our weekly Bible study. You'd be more than welcome to any of those things. And here at Rallets, we're just a country church that exalts Jesus Christ. We've got a missionary heart that's dedicated to sharing that love of Christ. And we just appreciate so much our community, and we hope to make a difference. We hope to make a difference right where we're living in our generation. We definitely want to make a difference in our generation. If I could, I'd like to wish happy birthday to a few folks, happy anniversaries here from the church to folks in our community that we love and appreciate so much. Today is Mr. Alex Meredith's birthday. I know we had his birthday party Saturday. Alex turned 2, but today's his birthday, so happy birthday to Alex. That's Stevie Meredith, Marlene, all their grandson, and he is a fine young man. Fine young man, loves coming to church. Friday the 11th, Miss Anna Holly will be celebrating a birthday, and Miss Barbara Lane. So if you see those nice ladies out, be sure and tell them happy birthday. Now, Sunday the 13th, we've got two. Lori Meredith and Michelle Nichols will be celebrating a birthday, as well as Henry and Anna Metter will be celebrating their anniversary. So a lot of things going on Sunday. Then Monday the 14th, Miss Lula Slaughter is celebrating a birthday along with Miss Carissa Ward. A lot of birthdays coming up next week, because Tuesday the 15th is Mr. Chris Meredith's birthday. Mr. Chris will be turning another year older. And then Wednesday the 16th will be his mother, Miss Ruby Meredith, and she'll be getting another year younger. Miss Ruby will be celebrating a birthday. So be sure, tell all those folks happy birthday. We love the brethren here at Rallets, and we appreciate them so much. It's such a wonderful thing to be a part of the family of God. I want to share with you, if I can, a little bit, a scripture, a circumstance, a time in the life of the church that it speaks to me sometimes, and I've had a lot of had this come to my mind a lot here lately, and so I just wanted to share it with you. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, of course, in the first part of 2 Samuel chapter 12, we see about David's great confession when Nathan confronts David with the parable, in order to have David to understand that his sin that he committed with Bathsheba is found out, that God knows everything that happened there, and God's aware of all the things that was going on. And so he wasn't doing anything in secret. He wasn't having anything hid from the Lord, that all these things that had happened between David and Bathsheba were known to God. And Nathan, the prophet, was sent that he might confront David with this, that he might confront David with this sin, and that David might come to repentance and come to once again be in a right standing before God. Now, that's all part of the backstory. What happened here, you remember the story very well. David was stayed home, and he was supposed to went out into the fields with his family, with the soldiers there, and they were supposed to be out going over the countryside and seeing what had happened during the off season, sort of during the winter time. They had retreated in within the walls of Jerusalem, and now as spring is coming on, they're going out under the fields, and they're beginning to search out their countryside that they might cleanse it of any settlers that had come in, anything that had come in to try to take away what God had left for the Israelites. And David, he didn't go out that spring like he was supposed to. He stayed back. Now, that was just pure laziness, folks. There's no excuse for what happened there with David. That's just pure laziness. And he stayed back. And while he was staying, now look what happens when Christians get complacent, when we get to a place where we're not working as we used to, we're not doing the things of God as we used to, and they just get complacent. And sin creeps in where men and women are not on guard, where we're not taking the time. And maybe you've gotten complacent where you are when you're walking with the Lord. Maybe you've said, my prayer life's been fine, everything's going good with me, and you've sort of slacked up in some areas in your life. I want you to be on guard. I want you to know that old Satan looks for opportunities to creep in amongst Christians that are comfortable right where they are, and he'll begin to work in their life, and he'll begin to drag them down and drag them away from God. And the way to ensure that doesn't happen to you in your walk with the Lord is to make sure that you're not satisfied, that you're not complacent, you're not done with where you're at, but you want to keep getting closer to God. You want to keep stepping out for Him. You want to keep moving for Him. And you want to keep doing the things that God has asked you to do. And don't get lazy on God. Continue to do the things that you did when you were excited about the Lord, and that'll stoke your excitement, and that'll keep you moving in the right direction. David didn't do that. And so as David has stayed back in the Jerusalem, and all of his men are out there doing what they were supposed to, we know that he saw Bathsheba. As he was walking on his rooftop, he saw Bathsheba across the way. And there he saw her, and he looked upon her with lust. And in his heart he desired her. Right then in that moment when he committed adultery, David would have known what Moses said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." But yet the devil used the opportunity in order to cause a godly man to stumble in his way. And so he affected him in that. And David sent for Bathsheba, and you know the story very well. Then there was a child, not many people know this, there was a child conceived from that moment. Now, it was God's... We'll just go right into our verses now. 2 Samuel chapter 12. We'll start in verse 15. Nathan has just told David that to confront his sin. And now, then the verse 15 picks up. Then Nathan departed to his house. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. The Lord struck the child. David, therefore, pleaded with God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So when the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Then on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, "Indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him the child is dead? He may do some harm." They were thinking David would have harmed himself. When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived, being a wise man, that the child was dead. Therefore David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "Yes, he's dead." Now watch this. David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord, and he worshipped. And he went to his own house, and he requested, and they set food before him, and he ate. And then his servants said to him, "What is this that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food." And he said, "While the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live?' But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." Friends, I'll tell you, it always seems out of order for me whenever I am in the way of the ministry, and I'm oftentimes asked to help in funerals. I'm oftentimes asked to help the people that loved others in their life in order to help bury those and see them put into the ground there. And it's a hard thing. It's a tragic thing. And it always seems to be out of the natural order of things for a parent to bury a child. But here we find that circumstance to be held true throughout history, that we've seen that. I know the old ancient Roman saying, I think it was, that in times of peace, sons bury their fathers. In times of war, fathers bury their sons. And we know that I think it's one of the hardest, one of the most tragic things that we come across in life is for a parent to lose a child. And I can only imagine what devastation it makes to a man's heart, to a man's family, to a man's entire sense of being when a parent loses a child. And my heart is just ripped. I just feel so terrible for those circumstances. But I know this, and I look and I think about this. I think about how that David reacted. Now, the Bible has already told us that while that child was sick, David understood this much, and the Bible makes it plain that God used this in order to get David's attention. God used this, maybe He's helping us to understand that. Am I saying that every child that's ever born is and dies early is because of sin in a parent's life? No, please don't mistake that. There's no way, shape, or form what I'm saying. But I know in this instance, because the Bible has told us, that He showed us that this instance, this child was born ill because of David's sin, because of David's enmity against God. And so I understand that God was using this in order to gain David's attention. Now, I just want you to understand, dear friend, that it's not outside of God's capabilities. It's not outside of God's reign in order for these things to happen. He's sovereign. God, what God has put in place, God is the one that's in control of. And these things were happening to David because God had willed it to do so. Now, you and I can gain from David's loss. You and I can take from this and allow it to help us in our lives. We can first of all say that we're not going to allow sin to creep into our homes, into our circumstances, to the point that it was in David's, that God would have to resort to this sort of thing in order to gain our attention and draw us back to Him. Friend, listen, whom God loves, He chastises. And when you are one of God's children and you're not walking in the way that you ought to walk and you're not doing the things that God knows you ought to be doing, God will use whatever means necessary in order to draw you back to Him. Sometimes there's great wake-up calls in our life. When tragedy strikes, we should always examine ourselves. And if we're walking in the way of the Lord, you know what? I think people try to fool themselves sometimes. I don't need Nathan the prophet to come tell me when I'm not walking in the right way with God. I know in my heart when I'm not serving the Lord. I know when I'm not doing the things God has asked me to do. I understand. I don't need a prophet to step out and tell me. My own heart condemns me. And you know what? You don't need some preacher standing there in front of you, getting in your face and telling you that you're walking in sin. I think if you'll just be quiet for a minute and you'll just listen to what God is trying to tell you, you already know it. You already know it. You already understand that you're not walking with God as you ought to. And I think the response that we have to this chastisement of God is very critical in where the rest of our life will end up with God. You see, David understood that God was in control. And that's why when the baby was sick, that David was fasting and he was laying on the ground and he was in prayer and he was repenting of that sin. He was sorry for that sin. And I tell you, today we don't see enough of Christians that are doing this response like David did. That we see today that Christians aren't responding to what God has done. And what happens is so many Christians today misunderstand what's happening to them in their life. They don't understand that what God is doing is in order because He loves them and because He's desiring to see them come back into the place where they need to be, and that if they would simply get right with God and understand that God is loving them and God is using this in order to try to bring them back to a place that He can be, that they can be of use to Him, that it's a great help to them. It's a great wonder what God can do in the middle of tragedy. And here David was attempting to do these things in order to get back into a right standing with God. He was doing these things in order to get back into a place where God could use him and he could once again be the leader of that nation that God intended him to be. There's two responses that we see when tragedy comes upon people in their life. Here King David was facing the loss of a child. He was facing something that I think is one of the hardest things in life that there is. It never feels natural. It never feels like the correct order of things when a parent loses a child. It never seems right to me. I don't know why. It just seems out of order. And David was facing this situation. And he prayed to God that this cup, as Jesus did, might pass from him. And that this thing might come to pass that David would find forgiveness and be able to be rejoined with that child. But that wasn't God's plan. And God's plan was that child would die. And David, when he saw that his servants
His servants were worried about King David. His servants said, well, if he's doing this bad while the child is sick, if he's in prayer and in repentance, and if he's just tore all to pieces while this child is sick, what is he going to do when we have to tell him this baby has died? What's David's reaction going to be? What's going to happen when he sees that this baby has finally passed away and gone on to be with the Lord? And they were scared. But what they didn't know is that David, being a wise man, when he saw that they were whispering, when he saw they were hiding their face from him, David automatically knew that the time had come and that that child had gone on to be with the Lord. And so David asked them, is the child dead? And they said, yes, he's dead. Now, at that point, no doubt they were expecting David to just throw himself on the ground and to cry out to God and say, God, why have you done this to me? You're not fair to me. You're a mean God. You're a God that don't care about your children. But that was exactly the opposite of what David did. You need to understand that David's reaction can only come from somebody that's close to God. And when that child was finally taken, David said, you know what? My time of fasting is over. I'm going to get up and eat. My time of throwing myself on the ground is over. I'm going to get up and wash myself. I'm going to change my clothes. And I love the reaction that David had in verse 20. It said he got up, he took something to eat, he washed his face, and he went to the house of the Lord and he worshiped. He worshiped. And that's the two responses that we see. So often when a great tragedy strikes a person's life, they'll either use that against God and they'll blame God and they'll say, God, you're mean. God, why have you done this? God, I don't love you anymore. I don't want to be near you. I hate the reason that this has happened. Or you'll see the correct response that comes from a person that's walked beside God. You'll say, oh God, I need you to be my strength in this hour. I need you to be the one that's lifting me up. I need you to be the one that's holding me. And the two reactions are this. It either turns you away from God and causes you to go in the opposite direction, or it spurns you to fall into the arms of Jesus and with everything that you've got say, oh Lord, the only comfort that I can hope to gain in this situation is the comfort that comes from you. And so I guess my message today is just, I want you to be able to walk with the Lord right now and to develop the relationship you've got with God right where you're at right now, because there's only three kinds of Christians: them that are coming from some trouble, them are headed to some trouble, or them that's just in the middle of trouble. So it's coming for you. It's headed your direction. And right now is the only moment you've got any control over. And if you'll take this moment, if you'll take this day, and you'll use it to grow closer to God, when your tragedy comes, when your heartache comes your way, then you'll be able to have the reaction that David had, and you'll be able to stand up on your feet, you'll be able to wash your face, you'll be able to change your clothes, and you'll be able to go to the house of the Lord, you'll be able to worship regardless of what's happened to you in your life. It won't matter what heartache comes, it won't matter what tragedy comes, it won't matter what happens to you in your life. If you're walking hand in hand with God, you'll be able to have that. You'll be able to be strong in that situation, and you'll be able to worship. And that's what we have to do right now. We can't wait. We can't wait until the tragedy comes and then say, oh God, be our help. Oh God, be my strength. Oh God, be my fortress. It's too late then. Now is the time to grow closer to the Lord. And so I just want you to know that David made this amazing statement in verse 23. I can't bring him back to me, but to where he is, there I'll go. I can't bring him back to where I'm at, but one day I can go to be with him. David understood that baby was forgiven by God. That baby had no sin against God. That baby had no understanding of the difference between good and bad. That baby was protected, and therefore God took that baby to be with him. And David knew if he ever had any opportunity to see that child again, it'd be because of his walk with the Lord. And so I just want to encourage you this morning to look at your walk with the Lord and to know no matter what happens to you, if you've got things settled with God, that God takes care of His own and God watches over His children. If you would today, you just close with me in a word of prayer. Father God, I just thank You for this day. I thank You, dear Lord, for the opportunity to be able to share. And Father, I just pray that You might comfort those that maybe have lost a loved one, dear Lord, that You'll be with them, dear God, in a mighty way, that the Holy Spirit might just wrap Himself around their hearts and comfort them. Father, I pray for those that maybe they understand this morning they haven't been walking with You as they ought to. They've not been doing the things that God has asked them to do, and that today is an opportunity for them, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to be drawn back into the fold, to come back into the place where that God can use them, and that God can be real in their lives once again, and they can be walking with Him as they ought to. And Father, we just thank You so much for second and third and fourth and fifth chances. We thank You that You're a God of love and a God of compassion. And we ask today, Father, that You might allow our lives to honor You no matter what comes. Thank You today for that. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. God bless you, friends, from Rallets Baptist Church.